Good morning, everyone. Blessings from Mostar, Bosnia and Herzegovina. Last time I had problems with my watch. So I preached quite short because I thought I'm close to 40 minutes. So I brought now the phone. I'm not expecting any phone call. And my church just started service 23 minutes ago. So they'll be busy. Thank you very much, Pastor Bob, for the introduction and explaining about Bosnia and Herzegovina. Probably I'll speak much more this afternoon about the present situation and the problems we are facing. This morning, I would rather go into the Word, and through that, I'll share some things. So we can open in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses from 20 and a couple down, you know. As Pastor Bob explained, that Bosnia and Herzegovina is in, I would say, turmoil for last 20 and something years ago. Before that, I lived in Croatia. I pastored a church and I ran the private business. So many times I say to the pastors that some 20 and something years ago, I was earning more than double money what I earn today. So it was not a progress financially that I came to Bosnia and Herzegovina. And with many challenges, you know, the year after I was visiting you, so 2 years ago, I had a burnout, you know, not listening really to God and listening more to the church leaders, and I realized I was in a big, big trouble. So sometimes really God is bringing us through a hard times, you know. And many times, I know when I was a young believer and people would share the gospel with the people and telling them, when you receive Jesus in your life, all of your problems will go away. Well, many are laughing here. Why do you laugh? You mean that's not the truth? Of course it's not, you know. So it's like good advertisement. I usually say in my country, you know, usually the banks advertise themselves, you know, on the TV and say, we are here because of you. And I'm smiling and thinking, no, you're here because of our money. You know, that's the reason you really you are here, you know. So 8 or 9 years, Yvonne and I had big marriage problems, you know. You go through the disappointments in life, you know, betrayals. Last year, I was 3 times accused by the pastor that I'm trying to destroy his church and his mission point, you know. And you're all going in these cycles, and many times you're asking, why all this is happening to me, you know. Well, from so many different situations, you are learning and growing in the Lord. You know, and then you're realizing where actually you are. Where is your heart? Is it healthy or quite unhealthy? You know, probably many of you heard the story about the Joseph, you know, and when he was sold by the brothers in Egypt, accused by the Potiphar's wife, you know, finished in a jail. When he interpreted the dreams to the cupbearer and the baker, he said to them, when you come back to the Pharaoh, please tell some good things about me, that I'm unjustly imprisoned here, you know. But, of course, they forgot, you know. But in all of that, God had a purpose, because coming as a 17-year-old, being sold, you know, in a slavery, you know, and coming out of the jail at the age of 30, and becoming a second person, I will say, in command, in the one of the most influential emperors at that time, you know, you're not speaking that probably he had $5 million under him. He had all the wealth of that kingdom, and he was managing. But through all the process, we are recognizing how God was leading and really building his character up and his heart being healthy. So one day when the brothers came, you know, probably maybe some of us, maybe even I would think, how can I revenge myself, you know? But when their father died, they fall down prostrate on the floor in front of him. And what did they say? Make us your slaves, you know. Just keep us alive, you know. And then he says, you know, most powerful things at that time, you know, let be far away from me. Whatever you done evilly to me, God returned for good to save the big nation. So you see, if something from evil would happen, God turned into great thing. But his heart in all of this was built up, understanding that God has far more that he could ever even imagine, going through all these struggles through the life, you know. So life is not fair, but we have a great God, you know. 23rd verse, Because there were some Greeks among those who went to worship. It's a 20th verse to the festival, and they wanted to see Jesus. So they came to the Philip and the Andrew, and they are coming to Jesus to ask that some people would like to see him. It doesn't share what was the purpose of seeing Jesus, maybe to pray for them, maybe to have a successful business, and God will bless, and they will get the millions. But Jesus replied in the 23rd verse, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verily, truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." All those who are maybe have been dealing with agriculture, you know, if you keep your seed on the shelf, it will never produce anything, you know. If you put it in the ground, it will die, grow, being watered, and it will produce much more seeds, you know. And that's actually what God is trying to speak into our lives, you know, really, that we have to die to ourselves, that we will produce the seeds, you know. And many times the purposes. My wife had some 3 years ago cancer, you know. And many times you think, why is this happening? I'm following God, you know. But many times we didn't die completely, you know. There is still so much of us living and not allowing God to be used by him for his glorious thing, you know. And many times in the midst of impossibility, the miracle happens. And that's actually how God is preparing us through the life to bring us to the point where we'll be really desperate for him. I believe only solution for Bosnia-Herzegovina and all those political issues, and we have many problems which I'm not going to speak now. We have only one hope, and that is that the revival will happen. And when I'm speaking about revival, I'm speaking about transformation of the society, of community that's living. It's not evangelism, more people in the pews of the church, you know. It's changing community. When the glory of God comes, people are convinced in their lives about their sinful life, you know. Nobody has to display or explain to them how their life actually looks like, you know. When I was meeting Jesus for the first time in a friend's, maybe I'll speak more about that this afternoon. First of all, he spoke to me that in a supernatural way, a huge light came to me, and Jesus said that it's him, he loves me, and he wants me on his side. And it's very exciting the first moment, till all next moment all my life went in front of my face. Before that, I had a very high opinion about my life and that I'm a great person. I didn't kill anyone. I'm quite a good man, you know. Maybe a couple of times I lied, you know. I'm not like Hillary Clinton. She said, "I never lied, and probably I never will," you know. Well, I'm not so good, you know. But many times you are confused when you see the things which actually are going on in your life, you know. And you think, what is going, God, what is actually he doing in my life, you know. How much do you think how many Christians in the United States are desperate for God? That they are in agony for the change. How many Christians do you think are praying for these elections on their knees? When I started sharing with pastors from some 2 years ago that we have to go into really prayer of desperation for change in the country, otherwise nothing will happen. Immediately there was a response from some pastors. "So Carmel, you want to say that we are not praying?" I said, "No." So then another person said, "So you want to say that we are praying in a wrong way?" I said, "Not even that. But you know, many of us are praying. But you know when you get the information that you have a cancer and you have 6 months more to live, your prayer life is changed, isn't it? Or you get some very bad information. You're not anymore praying, oh, dear God, you know, thank you for this day. You are on your knees. You're prostrate on the floor. You're crying to God desperately." And that's exactly where we in Bosnia-Herzegovina at least have to get to that place of the desperation for God, really wanting him than anything more in our lives, you know. Jesus says, "Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while Anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So this is a great verses, you know, which says if we really despise our life here in this and living for the bigger life there in the heaven one day, we will not be so much concerned what people think about us, how we look, but actually what we do here on the earth. So for a long time, pastors were telling me also that we cannot do anything about the present situation, that it's all up to God. It many times reminds me of the Muslims, you know, because that's how they believe. They believe in destiny, which is given by God, and that destiny, nothing can change. Not some time ago, I had an accident, car accident, and the Muslim policeman came, and I said, oh, only if I did this. And then he said to me, you could not escape the destiny. It was given by God. I said, only if I was more focused. He says, no, even if you were focused the most, still it would happen, you know. Well, that's the Muslims. And many times we Christians are like that, you know. There is a song, Que sera, sera, you know. As it is, it will be, you know. You cannot change anything. But I think we can change pretty much. I know it's all up to God, but we can change the things. 2 years ago, I got the verse, and probably many of you know, it's from 2 Chronicles 7:14. But I've read that verse so many times before. When we speak about revival, you know, we speak, and many times we pastor, we speak about the revival because we are supposed to speak. Otherwise, you're not spiritual if you don't speak about revival, you know. But great revelation for me was in 7:14 when it starts and says like this, if my people, or in another translation, when my people, so it's conditional. It's up to us what we will do. Who are called by my name, so it's speaking to Christians, speaking to the Jews at that time, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn away from our wicked or the sinful ways. So when we will start as a Christians, being allowed to be humbled down and really understanding the real purpose of our life, real purpose, what it is, then I believe our countries will be changed. You know that we have flood of the refugees coming. So far, it's 1.3 million in Germany, you know. And I'm quite shocked with my friends, what I hear, what I see on Facebook, because I would say that lots of us are so much influenced what we see, what we hear, what the politicians say, what the mass media, newspaper, television says, and so. And we are very much influenced by that. And from that perception, we are making our convictions. So our conviction on the West is, I'm living in a country that's 52% Muslim. Many people say the Muslims are evil, they are coming here to Islamize us, they're going to change Europe and all of that. And one of my friends, where I'm going next point, is in Boston. He's fighting against the rights for the gay people and all of that. And so I'm not so much for fighting against that. My bigger concern is where the church is. Because if the church would do the job, what God put us here on the earth as individuals, we would not face these issues. You understand? But we live. Our lives are nice, you know. Even for many in Bosnia and Herzegovina, even with such unemployment, people have a place to live. They have a car. They have something. And we are just sitting, enjoying the life, you know. It was so funny. So many older people were, my father grew up in Croatia North. In the evening, they would usually take their tractor or a car and go to their shed where they keep the barrels with the wine. And they will bring some bacon and some bread and have fun and get drunk. You know, when the war in Croatia started, those people were not gathering anymore. Many of them were going to Roman Catholic Church on their knees, that they would go probably usually just for a Christmas and Easter time. What have changed? Insecurity for their life. They were not sure. Is the enemy going to come and kill them? At once the perspective changed. You understand what I'm saying? So we wouldn't face, my friend in Boston, he says, oh God, when he's looking on this, all these elections, when this is going to change? My answer now will be to him, when the church changes the priority of the life. That the church is not about me, it's about God. Yeah. And when I will glorify him, when I'll pray for the change of the community, on the society where I live, those people will not be elected anymore. I was so ashamed not long time ago. I was reading about Zambia, the country in Africa. And Christians there realized Kenneth Kaunda, I think, was the president or dictator for 30 years. They were living in a poverty, and it was so bad. So till one day, the pastor started gathering together. Actually, I think missionary from Sweden came and encouraged them to start praying for a change in the country. And finally, God revealed them after I don't know how many months of prayer. And they went to the house of the man which God said to them to go. And they prayed for him, anointing him with oil. And they said, God told us that you are next president. The man that was not in politics even. You know. So they prayed, and the day of the elections came. And wherever the people were voting on those positions, you know, at least two Christians would be all day long or changing, you know, shifts taking and praying. And of course, the change came. The men came in power. The old one was gone. 4 years later, country started getting better and better, more healthy, more prosperity and financially, more jobs and all of that. Well, 4 years later, they had again the plan, the enemy, you know, to bring back, not the old guy, another guy. But the church prayed again. It didn't happen, the change. Because they stay alert all the time, you know. Our tendency is when it's getting better that we sit down and we say, it's all done. I don't know if any of you saw the transformation movies from George Otis Jr. And he's naming only one town in South America where it really happened, the whole change. People were in drugs, people were drunk, many marriages were broken, and it was really poor. Soil was not giving the products, you know, they were trying to plant, and always something would happen. So finally, the leaders of the church start praying, churches start praying, you know, and after 20 years, it didn't happen overnight, 20 years, we like instant things, you know. When somebody probably says 20 years, probably you think, who is going to pray for 20 years? But population of the town is 20,000, 19,000 are Christians. All the jails are empty. Local sheriff is a tourist guide. Before, he was filling four towns further with all the people from his town, the jails were full. People are glorifying God. In my country, usually the truck drivers have some calendars with certain ladies on. I'm not going to in details, but you know how they look like. There, they are putting pictures of names of God and glorifying God, and they change the names of the street in the glory of God. So the town have done really transformation by God. And then George Otis Jr. is showing the carrot is big from here till here. And they have three harvests in a year. So they say, God came and transformed our even soil. Before it was unfertile, you know, now it's really fertile and it's giving great products. And they are selling all around. And they say, of course, when God touches the ground, this society, the town, and everything, the things start changing. And that's exactly what we need. I don't see hope for Bosnia and Herzegovina, but I also don't see the hope for the United States, you know. I don't see the hope for Europe. When I speak with the pastors in Europe, what you are doing with the refugees, you know. We have to take bold stand, not pushing people, but challenging people. In our country, after the war, many people came to the Lord, many Muslims, because they saw the hope. And when first one saw the hope, Muslims, they start sharing with other Muslims. And they start coming to Jesus. it's possible that all the refugees, all the Muslims that are coming, that their lives will be changed. Only we are changed and challenged to go out, pray on our knees, and do the action. There is only that hope. Otherwise, the situation will stay the same. And Islam will come and will conquer us. You know why? Because they are really devoted. Devoted Muslims pray 5 times a day. When they see Christianity that is lukewarm, when they see Christianity that we can see all kinds of the movies, dirty movies on the TV, when you see that Christians are for the abortion, Christians are for the gay, and all of that, Muslims have no tolerance, I tell you. And they say, these people are not respecting their God. They know something about the Bible, and they say, look, they have a holy book, but they are not living according to that book. So we will come, we will bring the Sharia law, they will bow down to our God, and we'll put them to worship the real God. And of course, the West is shocked, you know, Muslims are coming. But because we are not doing anything, you understand? I hear many stories from Syria, from Iraq, because people are going and passing through our area. How many Christians died? How many are killed? But also how many influenced? Many had to flee for their life, but now refugees, those and their families who were before rejecting them and throwing them out of the home, now they came to live into their area, pushed by the radical Islam. And at once, their hearts are open to listen to these people who were rejected before, same as Joseph was rejected by his brothers, and came to a new land, new position in life, where they can hear what they are telling them. So I believe only hope, looking generally on the world, is if we start praying and being desperate for God, and really changing our lifestyle. I heard the story about the American chaplain in the American Army. And he was preaching to the American soldiers in Germany, and maybe 1 to 4 men will come in 2 or 3 months to the Lord, you know. And he was shifted to Korea. And then 30 men would come approximately in 1 month to the Lord. So he's completely shocked because he was preaching the same messages. He would pray in the same way, but the results were completely different. So he went to speak with this Pentecostal pastor, Yonggi Cho. Now he's retired. I said, I don't get it. I'm preaching same sermon in Germany and here. Why here there are such a big results and nothing there in Germany? And then Yonggi Cho tells him, oh, brother, pastors in Germany, they love to walk the dogs. They like to go to these resort places to have fun. They like to have a nice big TV. They like to have a big, nice car. And they like to enjoy their life. And of course, there is no power of God. But he said, we Koreans, we take the water on Friday evening. We pray till Saturday evening. And that's the reason, he says, the heaven above Korea is open so the people can hear because God is directly influencing the people to come on his side. So he says, brother, you are reaping actually the harvest which many Koreans through many years have sown in a prayer on their knees. And that's actually the truth. I was in Korea, and I was amazed with the prayer life. My prayer life, I would pray every night for 2 hours. I came back to Bosnia-Herzegovina. It was stopped. There you don't even put so much attention. I didn't have any list in Korea to pray. In Bosnia-Herzegovina, I have a list. The things were just coming to me what to pray for, you know. Yonggi Cho would Sunday say the pastors of the mega churches in States and in Europe, he says, they can at the most pray 28 minutes when they name all their uncles, aunts, nieces, and nephews, you know, when they all involve them. Because their life is, he says, they are not developed in a prayer life and in the closeness with Jesus. And that's what has to change in our lives also. Catherine Kuhlman said long time ago, you know, to God, she said, God, if you want nothing, here is nothing. You know, many times we think that we are something special. For a long time, I believed that God must be so proud because I came on his side. I'm something special. But I realized through the time I'm really nothing, you know. God can do without me. Still, the things will go on. Maybe sometimes even much better when I'm not in the way. Many times when I tried to help God, I just made bigger mess, you know. The people that I helped most in Bosnia-Herzegovina, many times in my flesh, turned later away from God. Today they're not greeting me. I would go in their home and sleep in a collared priest shirt because the Croatians, the Catholics, were doing ethnic cleansing. So I would stay there. If they break in, they will see the priest, so they'll be shocked. So I will push them out, you know. But all those who were stayed on their own and were afraid and probably praying more, you know, Muslims who were expecting that any minute through the night the soldiers can come, probably they prayed much more. Nobody was there to protect them. They stayed with God. So many times when we mess up, we try to help God, we just do more damage. You know, the Abraham. There wouldn't be Palestinians today if he didn't make a wrong decision and listened for a bad counsel. And it says here, 7:14, the rest will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I don't know, do you think America needs a healing? Yeah. But when it will happen, it starts with each individual of us. I would say Bosnia-Herzegovina needs much, much more healing than the United States does. You have a huge potential. Millions and millions of Christians. From some 4.5 million, maybe we have 1,000 Christians. Very small number. But I tell you, if we will be enough desperate for God and see that as the only agenda in our life, that the country will be changed, it's worth living for that. That God comes 20, 30 years, I don't know. We are learned and we are always looking for something that will happen fast. But we had Turkish Ottoman Empire over Bosnia-Herzegovina 478 years. So you can imagine just how many demons are over my country. And you think you can snap with the finger and they will just go? I don't think so. I think so. God can do it in one single moment, you know. But God is waiting on his church to do the job. God can do the job on his own, but he decided to work through the people and through his church, through his body. And if we are alert and we get up on our feet and get on our knees and pray to God, I believe miracle can happen. I hear from quite many people in these elections, you know. People usually say, well, we have to choose between two evils. What is less evil, you know? And that's exactly what we do in Bosnia-Herzegovina, you know. In that country, in Africa, they didn't think that way, you know, to choose between one or two evils, what is less. But they went to pray. So I was really ashamed when I read those things about one country in Africa, that I could learn the great lesson. If we come on the knees, the whole thing can be changed, be completely different, much better and much further than we can even imagine. If we come into agony for God, there are really, really deep prayer life, things will start changing in our lives. It will start changing in our neighborhood. Will start changing in our town. It will start changing in our county. And slowly it will grow and grow. But it has started with somebody who is living, who is desiring, to live for dying to himself, living for God, and really understanding that it will take some time to start changing the people, changing the community. Our country, 41 to 75% unemployment, 66% of young people who are finishing college are planning to leave. 78% of government is corrupted. It can be worse. It can be. I expected that people will start desiring for a change when it's so bad, but they are not, because they are blind. They cannot see the truth. And Jesus said that we will get to know the truth, and truth will set us free, that we can clearly see. So many things that we see and hear doesn't need to be from God. You know, refugees coming from Syria. Many in Europe say, go back. We will push you into the sea. It's better if you... Why you didn't go to Saudi Arabia, you know? Why you didn't go to Kuwait, one of these rich Muslim countries? But I believe God, with the purpose, send the people, that they will hear the gospel. And some of them will go back and start the churches. Their people will go back to start the churches, to expand the kingdom of God. Because we didn't succeed, you know. Sadly, we are longing for missionaries in Bosnia-Herzegovina and many other countries. But many times, even when missionaries come, many of them today come to finish their PhD, finish their master's degree during their missions trip, you know, in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Not all people that come are called by God. And if you don't have calling from God, you will come either with the wrong purpose or you will be very, very disappointed. It's not the place where you will enjoy your life. There'll be many, many challenges, you know. And many times the people are disappointed. They come with their agenda, not with God's agenda, you know. And then all their dreams fall down to the ground, you know, and they don't bring any kind of fruit. They go back home. And then they say, it's just impossible to do the job there. I say it is possible. Many people came to the Lord in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Sadly, many left the Bosnia-Herzegovina for a better life. From my church, I have at least 50 people in the United States. At least from 96 till today, over 200 people left my church for other country to live somewhere. So we are sending missionaries to the United States and other countries. We would rather for them to stay, you know. But I will repeat what Catherine Kuhlman said. God, if you want nothing, here is nothing. Really, that God will challenge our lives, understanding that without God, there is no meaning to our life, you know. There is no meaning, you know. We can be so disappointed in life, disappointed in God, but if we get on agenda what God has for us, will be extremely excited. Bosnia-Herzegovina is not the country which I wanted to live. Actually, it was the country where I did not want to live. But it was God's will, and I'm enjoying today. Even it's hard, I would really say it's hard to live there. And you have daily challenges. But the best place to be is where God wants you to be. That's the best one. Thank you very much. God bless you all.